and just to be comfortable with your shoes, feeling good and having also a quite of a feminine attitude just by being confident, I think it's kind of activism.
Welcome to Wear Who You Are, a podcast that takes the fear out of fashion and holds space for everyone to explore how to connect your authenticity with your personal style. I'm your host, Natalie Tincher, founder of VU Style, expert style strategist, and your enthusiastic friend and safe space of support. I believe that every person has a style and every style deserves a seat. With over a decade of experience working with hundreds of personal clients, I've learned a thing or two about how to help others have a healthy and holistic approach to navigating how to build a wardrobe that reflects who you are. So pull up your seat and let's get started. Welcome back to another Wear Who You Are Wednesday. We are continuing our shoe discussion this week with an industry insider that many of you have heard me talk about, and that is one of the co-founders of Nomasai, Maureen, who's going to talk to us about the brand, how they started, so many wonderful things. But before we talk to this amazing woman, in light of the U.S. Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to share a resources article that I posted on my LinkedIn recently. It's titled, What Pumping Teaches Us About Designing Clothes for Women. So in this article, we discuss pumping resources, but from there, we take it further and springboard off of something that our recent guest, Eleanor Turner, mentioned, and that's looking at the origins of a company to understand their values and their story. So in the cases of most brands created to support chest feeding or pumping parents, they were started by women who found that the fashion industry didn't support their needs. One of those was our former guest and founder of Katie Jane, Molly McKee Seabrook, which I recommend you give that episode a listen if you want to learn more about your pumping rights in the workplace, among many other things she talks about. But to look at this resource as at a more macro level, in our article, I say, all of our clothes, including clothes made for pumping, come with stories designed by people who have lived experience. Yes, many clothes made by women for women have design features that cater to our practical needs perfectly, but not because of something as reductive as gender. It's not as simple as that. It's because they are designing from a place of experience and with a story in mind. So I've linked the article in the show notes for you to read. And in our guests coming up, we're going to hear a lot about this, of why they started this shoe and that it is women creating something with women's needs and experience and their story in mind. All right. And speaking of a company founded to support our needs as women, I am absolutely tickled to dive into our next conversation with someone I met, I think it's been almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
I think we met in Paris about a year ago. So Maureen is the CEO and co-founder of a shoe brand I absolutely love. I'm wearing them right now, Nomasai. She was born and raised in Cannes with her mom and two sisters. She always had an eye for an interest in fashion. And she was good at school and wanted to study, so she went to study political sciences. But since she grew up surrounded by artistic profiles like painters and musicians, she wanted to integrate that into her work also. So as a result, she looked at fashion and worked as a product manager starting at Dior, then Vuitton, and Chloe as a shoe production manager, and then as the shoe collection manager for 5 years. So it was while she was at Chloe, she realized the direction of the industry was going maybe in a way that wasn't aligning, which we'll talk about. And she decided with her co-founder, Paola, to create Nomasai. So their aim is to reconnect with timeless, honest luxury based on respect, sharing, ethical commitment, and transparency. So we're inspired. Nomasai is inspired by the stories of strong, free, and rebellious women like us, and by dance as a gesture of freedom. So thanks so much for joining us, especially with our time difference. We're 6 hours difference, I think, right?
It's 5 p.m. in Paris now.
So thank you. And I know you're busy. I know we have a lot going on with spring fashion, which is a really fun time. I've been previewing the collection and I have a pair of Martha sandals coming soon.
Yeah, this week, actually.
Oh, yay. I'm excited. I'll keep a lookout. We did meet about a year ago. My friend Faith, who I've talked about, is my nose, and she discovered the brand and we set up an appointment. And I'll never forget, like, Maureen was on the floor with boxes, and I have pictures that I've posted where we just sat and talked for probably 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always like this in the showroom or the boutiques. We just women, we like to talk, you know, so.
It was amazing. Like we really just connected woman to woman and there was no pretenses. And it felt like it was our 10th conversation we'd ever had.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really wonderful. And so for me, that inspires me when I know the founders of a brand are there woman to woman, supporting women. And I will report, trekked in my no-no loafers for miles and miles in the city, and they still look pristine and they're so comfortable. So I can't wait to talk about the brand. So I just wanted to start with what inspired you even to go into fashion? You said you had painters and artists, but what pushed you in the direction really?
I always liked, that as a young girl, you know, to play dress up a little bit. But as I always say, I was really into shoes in particular since the beginning. I don't know why, but even as a young girl, I'm not even mentioning Paul because Paul, she is my business partner and the artistic director of Nomasei. She was drawing shoes since I think she was 10 years old or something like that. So she's a bigger story. But me, it was more like, you know, I like to play dress up with my sisters and stuff. And the shoes were super important for me. Don't know why. And then when I started to study, I remember that I had a conversation with one of my best friends. And I was like, okay, I like what I do. I like to use, you know, my brain and stuff like that. But I need to have something creative as well. But I'm not a designer, and I don't pretend to be because I'm not. So what can I do?
Same.
Voilà. And so what can I do? Because I feel like I'm good with also the creative people. I get them. So I like their sensibility, you know. And so voilà. And I discovered the job of the product manager. And I started to go into that direction because you have the perfect mix between creativity and a kind of a strategic, you know, analytics, you know, stuff like that. And so, voilà. And I did a fashion school in French, which is called the French Fashion Institute. And we had a specialty into shoes. And I said, okay, definitely shoes are my stuff. Because it's the most complicated product there is, because it's super technical, but also it's a product that is supporting the body. So it can be done randomly, you know. It's because if you have a wrong shoe, it can have an impact on your body. It's not like a t-shirt, you know. The t-shirt, the quality is not great, but it won't hurt you. A shoe can. And so I liked this kind of complexity of the product as well.
Well, in a shoe, I mean, I've had so many times where I've been with clients or when I wasn't wearing sneakers and you're so uncomfortable that all you can think about is how much your feet hurt. And that's a really, it's a really frustrating thing when you're a social person who wants to be present.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, totally. You want to leave, like you want to leave something early because your shoes don't support you. So I completely echo that and how important it is because they're literally supporting your entire body.
Yeah. But we like to say, you know, with Paul that making comfortable shoes is quite of a feminism activism, something like this, you know, because women have been objectified for so long with shoes designed by men that had in mind a certain image of the woman. And these shoes, they weren't made to be, you know, worn by women that actually have a life and just not to sit.
That is a mom, a friend running around, a businesswoman, like all of those things.
And just enjoying the day to walk in the city. And so voilà. And just to be comfortable with your shoes, feeling good and having also quite of a feminine attitude just by being confident, I think it's kind of activism.
It truly is. It's this rebellion against what, you know, even we look in other countries where it's like women's feet have been bound to be a certain size and to look a certain way and, you know, what they're supposed to wear. And it does feel like this little subtle rebellion Especially when I'm in my Nomase. I had a client who I told you about who just bought the Aria boot, I think.
The Strada.
And she, the Strada. Yes. Yes.
Lower heel.
She bought this Strada boot and it's this beautiful Merlot color with the Pompeii off-white in the back.
Yeah.
She said, Natalie, I got stopped on the street and told how beautiful it was because she goes, and I also could walk in it. So I was confident.
Yeah.
I was in a beautiful shoe and it was different and I could carry myself with confidence.
Exactly. And that's the most important.
So how do you make comfortable shoes? Because I'm telling you, like, and you don't have to tell me the whole technology, but how do you decide what to produce and how in the hell are they as comfortable as they are? Because they truly are comfortable.
I think Paul has something that she can't explain that is this kind of, she feels...
A sixth sense. She has the sense.
Voilà. And this we can't explain. But I think the most important also is that she designed and together we decide only to develop only stuff that we want to wear. And we like to say that Paul and I, we represent even more than two different personalities because we have different lives. We don't have the same age. We don't have the same character, but personality, And so we like all kind of different stuff. So this is quite important. Now, how we develop also, because Nomase now is 4 years old, and it's been 4 years that we listen to the women that come in the showroom or in the pop-up stores, and we hear their feedback, but it's not like they want to make feedback. It's just that while trying on the shoes, they just talk and we listen to them and it's gold mine of information. So we like also to report that to Paul that designed to say, it's been the third woman, the fourth woman to say this kind of stuff. Maybe we need to keep an eye on this kind of things, That's how we develop also the Strada, because a lot of women, they were like, I like the Aria, but I don't know, maybe it's a little bit too high for me. And you have one woman, two women, three women, four women, five women that keep on seeing it. And you're like, okay, there is something. And so it goes like this also for the development. And then in production, how we make the shoes so comfortable is that because if they are not comfortable, we cut them. We don't do them. That's one of the first thing. For the first reason is just that Paul and I, we are the first users. So we want us to be comfortable. So it's totally selfish.
It's a totally selfish reason. I want to be comfortable. So if I'm not, then
exactly.
Love it.
So this is the first. Then one thing that is quite particular is that Paul, she's been designing and developing shoes for like 25 years. And she's a designer, but she's also a technician because she started with the technique before to go to design school. So this is something quite important. And because we gave shares of Nomase to our factory and that the owner of the factory is our technical director, we develop the things with them and he's crazy about details. And so that's how. We have shoes that are super comfortable.
I love that it starts with hearing feedback and actually listening to it because you care. Because again, let's go back to women supporting women in this rebellion of like, we all want to be comfortable and we've heard this a lot of times, we're going to give women what they want. And then the technical side, you've got all these hands at play saying, we're going to get this right. We're going to get this right. We're going to get this right.
Exactly.
So it's a commitment too.
Yes, totally. But that this kind of feedback things, we didn't anticipate that when we started Nomase. We didn't know that the woman, they would give us so many information like this. Because when you work in the big luxury houses, you are never in contact with the boutiques, with the clientele, with the customers. You are in your office. designing collections, but you don't meet the users. Never.
That's so interesting. And so that's why you like to get on the floor and just listen. And you're like, I'm actually connecting with the people who are
absolutely
living their lives in our shoes.
Yeah. And even with the brand growing, even if we are still super small, I want to have like at least one afternoon per week into the showroom or in the stores. And I'm looking at the message of the customer service every day because I want to, it's amazing to hear what the customer has to say, because at the end, if the customer is not happy, you don't have a brand. So
Correct. You're like, it can be in this magazine or this magazine, but if people aren't happy wearing it, then
you don't exist.
Exactly. So tell me, I want to hear a little bit more about the partnership with the factory. I don't know that a lot of the listeners, you know, we've talked about a lot about why I support independent brands and why I like this connection, but give them a little peek behind how you decided to partner with a factory. And it's in Italy, right?
Yes, it's in Italy, in Tuscany. It's in a village called Montopoli, which is in the middle between Firenze and Pisa. So basically, it's a factory that we didn't know when we were at Chloé. It's a factory that we weren't working with them. But when we started the process of launching Nomase, we spoke to a friend of ours that knows the region very well. And we told her, okay, can you help us to find a factory with people at the end of this factory that are people that who cares, that are people with good values, you know, nice people, also with a sense of sustainability, because there is a sense of a big part of sustainability into Nomase, and we wanted to have people that get that and that are actually also sensitive about that. I don't know if you say like this. And so we met them. Paul came with designs, and they were interesting. And at this time, they were making all the shoes for Acquazzura. You know the brand Acquazzura? Mm-hmm. It was the official factory for Acquazzura. And Massimo, the owner of the factory, said, okay, that your designs are interesting, because basically now I'm losing production because the sneaker has become so big. And your design, there are a proposition between the sneaker and the super feminine. So that's interesting. That's something that he said. And then after 2 weeks, he said, okay, guys, I can't make your shoes because you are too small and you are going too much of an investment for a factory like mine. So I'm sorry, I won't do it. So we were a little bit disappointed because they were super nice. And it was also a kind of pioneer factory in terms of sustainability because they had glue without chemical product, recycling water, you know, stuff like that. And then he came back to us saying, okay, I gave it a thought. I want to do it, but I want to be in. And because he said, I've launched so many brands like yours, and at the end, they leave me as a factory because they want to go somewhere else, and then I lose everything. And so voilà. And we said, yeah, okay. Let's do it, because it's a chance for us to have like our technical director here like this, because we've started being totally independent with no fundraisers or stuff like that. You know, it was like, I don't know what we were thinking, to be honest.
I don't know what you were thinking either. That's giving me palpitations.
Totally crazy. Mais bon, voilà, we did it. And so we gave them 50% of the brand.
Okay. Well, and what's so cool about that then, backing up to what you said, they're truly invested in making a really
qualitative,
wonderful
quality
product because they truly have invested interests.
Exactly.
So that's pretty amazing. And I think such a innovative way of looking at it in the industry right now. So in terms of then the sustainability aspect, I know it's a buzzword we hear a lot, and there are brands that are actually doing sustainability, ethical production, transparency. You said that was really important to you. What are some of the things? Sounds like the factory is doing a lot of sustainability initiatives. What are some of the other things that you do that it's truly a sustainable, ethical, kind kind to the planet and humans.
Yeah.
Because I know you do it, truly.
Yes. Alors, the human part started with the fact that we wanted to slow down the process. Because for us, in the big houses, there were something quite not human about the rapidity, you know, of the process. Because basically we were always late, always running out of time. So we were asking always more to the people. And this, it's a situation that we didn't want anymore for ourselves, Paul and I, because we were very tired and we thought that it was not healthy just for shoes to be in that state. And the people in the factory were in the same state. And for us, like, you are a young mother and you don't see your kids on the Saturday because you need to make shoes for a designer that, no, honestly, no. So this was one of the first things. So we said, okay, let's stop with all this huge amount of product that doesn't mean that is, and it's stupid at the end. We slow down, we take the time and we only make and produce stuff that we believe in and seems to be like a well thought product, because at the end, that's the only thing that matters, and we don't need that many stuff, you know. So this was, it seems a little bit like simple to say like this, but in terms of human respect, it's actually a lot for this industry. And so involving the people at the very beginning means also that you won't ask them stupid, you know, stuff. And so you have kind of a relationships of respect, because they are the ones, the craftsmen, they are the ones who know, you know. So you need to include them from day one. So this was one of the things as well. In terms of more respect of the planet, let's say, even if it's a little overrated to say something like that, it's that also by slowing down the process, you only produce what you truly believe in, so you don't waste any time, energy, and materials into stuff that you will put in the trash right after. So this is one of the first things. Then we do, since we take the time, we only do stuff that are like 50 maximum kilometers around the factory. So all our components, they come from here, from the Italian zone, you know, which is something super important. It means also that you take the time to talk with the suppliers, to think with them. So this is how we came up with having our top lift that are totally recycled and recyclable after, you know, stuff like that. And it seems simple, but, you know, it's a lot. And the idea is also to have a qualitative product that you will want to keep, so that you won't throw away. And so the last part that we didn't really communicate about, because we are not fully installed, is that we developed a partnership with a cobbler in France.
That, I saw that.
Yes, that has our components, our leathers, our accessories, everything, in order to repair your shoes.
Which I think is really an important thing. I was reading about it when you announced that.
Yeah.
Of that, also, it's not only that you buy nice shoes, but it's you buy shoes that can be repaired.
Yeah.
Because not all shoes that are made have components that are easy to repair, right?
Yeah. Alors, not all shoes. That's why also we didn't turn into vegan leather, for example, because it's made of plastic, and so it's less easy to nurture
to take care of the scratches out.
Voila, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why also, because the idea is to make like timeless product that we don't think of them as a one shot thing. We think of them as, honestly, in 10 years, there is a lot of change that I still will want to wear this shoe because it's a nice shoe. So the idea is to have So when we decide to make a heel, we really believe in this heel. And so we develop the top leaf that goes with it, the things like that. And we gave some to our cobbler to say, okay, if a woman that comes with a Nomasai shoes, that her top leaf is, in pieces for many reasons, you can change it because you have the components. And so it's this idea of, you know, when you have a phone that you go to make it repair and the people, they're like, yes, we don't have the pieces anymore. And you're like, okay, yes, so I need to throw it away. We don't want that. So maybe
that gives me chills.
Yes, but maybe we won't have that for all the models, because along the way, maybe we will have models that we will stop or stuff like that. But the idea is to have it as much as possible and to build the things in order to fulfill that.
I love that. I love that a lot. And I love that, like you said, what your shoes are doing is bridging that gap between sneakers and heels. And it really was a need. Like for me, it was like, I'm tired of wearing sneakers. And yeah, I wore my black no-nos to multiple weddings, because I had long pants and they've got the little shine. And then again, to that point, we were standing at the weddings the whole time and I was comfortable. I could socialize happily. I felt good. I was appropriate for the occasion. And so I didn't have to sacrifice the style that I wanted and the comfort, which again, it's such a rebellion. And so what I like is that you have these really tight core drops. So for me, I was like, I knew I liked my first no-nos. So I decided black would be a really good investment because I've tried it. I didn't have to worry about spending and investing in another pair because I knew they were useful and comfortable.
Yeah. But that's what we like to say to the woman, because sometimes the woman, they're like, I don't know what to choose. Maybe I take both. And every time a woman say that, we're like, oh, easy. Take one. See if you actually use them. See if you actually wear them. And while wearing them, you actually feel good in them. And then you will consider a second pair.
But
there is
the
no
reason
rush.
I think people feel rushed, because to your point, the fashion cycle in other big houses is that if I don't buy this now, it's going to be gone. You gave me that peace of mind to say, I can wait. I can be really thoughtful and I can make a smart decision. And and as a matter of fact, it's made me more loyal. I basically just shop Nomasai shoes. Or anything that's not a sneaker or a gym shoe. It's literally, I'll just wait and see what Nomasai drops. And then that's how I will strategize. So you're creating loyalty.
Yeah, you're not the only one to say that. And that's the best. And we are actually thinking about building a loyalty program, you know, for our customers, because we have customers that have like 8-9 pairs now. So we're like, we need to do something with them.
I'm getting up there. Well, my clients, I'm seeing all my clients for spring, and a lot of them that ordered, they said, well, can we just look at Nomasai? Can we just see what they have and just shop from there now that they know their sizes, they know the styles, they know you actually as a brand, you know? And so they feel very loyal. So thank you. As a stylist, it's so hard to find what you've produced until I found you. And so it's truly such an important need. So two last questions. One is, tell everyone what Nomasai stands for.
Alors, it's a word that Paul invented, and basically it means six ends, because Noma, it's the back word for mano, which means the end in Italian, and sei, it means six in Italian as well. So we wanted a word that had Italian sound, because we are partner with Italian people and it's super important for us. But we wanted also something that reflects this idea of working together, because when we left the big houses, Paul was like, I don't want to build a brand where the designer is like the superstar and we feel like it's only thanks to the designer that you have this product. Because that's what we felt when working in the big houses. We're like, okay, we are working day and night and nobody sees it. And so we wanted to reflect that into Nomasai and say that it takes a village, you know. You need the people in the factory, you need the people in the office, you need the interns, you need the customers, you need everyone. So this is this idea behind the hand. It's because everything is made with the hands, and voilà.
And we're all helping hands. That's beautiful. I love that approach too, because you're right. In the industry, in certain parts of the industry, it's so egocentric, and it's a lot of people doing thankless work for an ego, essentially. Yeah. And I believe that there's this kind side of it that we're all meeting and becoming part of, that we all, even in this community, like, I want to help you. Yeah. I want my hands to help you. You want to help me. And we're all in this together to do things better and kinder.
So much more fun, you know, to work like this.
Well, it's so fun, because I'm like, hey, Maureen, do you want to be on the podcast? You're like, great. Or occasionally, well, WhatsApp I'm like, I feel like we help each other, and we want to help each other, and we want to help our clients. And
It's
so human.
Exactement. But you know, honestly, building your brand is not easy every day. It's a lot of pressure and stuff, but it's the human side of the adventure is the best one. Thanks to Nomase, we've met people like the customers, the suppliers, like people like you. Like, it makes you forget all about the rest, you know?
I always say, I'm like, when I have a connection and then you forget all of it. I haven't birthed children, but it's probably like childbirth, where once you see your beautiful child, you're like, I can forget all that pain I went through, because this is worth it.
Exactly.
I love it. So to end, what would be, in terms of your favorite styles, which ones were designed for you? Which ones are your go-to?
The no-no. Because I'm a loafer girl. I've always wore loafer. With my first paycheck at Chloé, I bought a Western loafers, you know? You see the Western? Well, I can't wear them because they are too painful. But I wanted to buy a loafer. I'm a loafer girl. Definitely. I love the style of the loafers. And so I asked Paul to make a loafer for me. And she did it. And actually, I remember the first time we tried on the prototypes. She came at my home a Friday night. So we had wine and stuff trying on the prototypes. And I was like, oh my God, Paul, it's perfect. It's perfect. We need to do it like as it is. Don't change anything to the line of this loafer. And so she was like, okay, I like it as well. And I was like, oh my God, you've designed something that I didn't knew I wanted, but now I want them, you know? And I wear them every day for like 4 years and a half, and I don't get rid of them, never. I actually feel that the new ones are always better than the old ones. And and it's also my favorite because we gave it a name that's super dear to both our hearts, Paul and I, because Nono was the nickname of someone that we really loved and that encouraged us to launch Nomase, and that was telling us, okay, guys, you can do it. You need to do it. So voilà.
That's cool. And now it's become a core staple. And it truly was something I needed it. As soon as I put it on, I was like, you knew. I was like, this is a no-brainer. This is what I've been looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's truly beautiful. And the colorways. And then when Blake Lively had it on, I was like, Blake Lively and I have the same shoe.
Yeah.
How does that feel when you see a celebrity wearing your shoes? What is that feeling like?
It's awesome. You have your families, friends are like, oh my God. You know, so it's amazing. The only thing that is not cool is that you get used to it and then you want more. And so when it's not happening anymore, you're like, oh my God, we don't have any celebrities wearing your shoes. What the fuck is going on?
It's like a drug. You're like, I need more.
You become totally addicted to it. Huh? It's terrible, but it's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing.
I have a feeling there'll be more. I have a feeling my Marthas are going to be something. I have a feeling.
It's a hit shoe, I can tell you. I was scared.
I saw it instantly.
No, it's you know, sometimes you have the magic happening like this. Me in the new collection, my favorite one is the driver, because it's like easy. You don't even think, you know, you wear them. But the Martas at the beginning, I was like, yeah, well, I don't know, for me, maybe a little bit too classic. Paul was like, oh my God, I love them so much. And I was a little bit afraid because the price point is a little bit more high than the other one because they are super complicated to make with, you know, all the stitchings and stuff. And so I was like, okay, let's see. I don't know if she will have a public, this one. And we launched them on the website. We didn't even communicate about them because I'm not sure we had a newsletter yet. And we didn't have any post on Instagram. We had to do a restock order because we are almost sold out.
Well, I saw it instantly and I was like, that's my shoe. And I'll put a link to all the styles that Marina's mentioned in the notes, but so you can see them. But the Martha I saw instantly and I'm like, oh, that's my summer. That's my summer sandal. And I got it in the white. It's amazing. It's so gorgeous.
And so, there is something with this one.
My nose smelled it. I knew instantly. I was like, that one's going to be gone if I don't pre-order this one. I've seen enough of this to know.
We like to do this pre-order things, you know, because when we have new styles like this, we don't want to launch too big production because it's a little bit scary, you know. You're like, okay, if the style is not working, I will be overstocked. So it's a little bit scary, you know. So we do small productions and then we see how it goes. And if the woman, they like it, we instantly send a restock production to the factory. So like this, we go it.
That's a smart business move and a smart sustainability move. So I thank you. I've taken so much of your time today. I could talk to you forever. So we'll probably just have to get on a call again and just catch up. And I have to come visit you soon. And you said you may come to New York next year, right?
Absolutely. We plan to have a pop-up store in spring next year.
Amazing. So we'll keep everyone posted on that so you can go visit and see Maureen and Paul in person and see how lovely they are and just like experience what I got to experience by sitting together in the showroom. So I just want to thank you for your time. Give Paul a big hug for me. And remember, you don't have to sacrifice your values and comfort when wearing who you are. As for me, I like wearing my stylish shoes like Nomise so I can rebel against the system and walk miles in shoes that were created by women for women. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining another Wear Who You Are Wednesday. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Be sure to follow along for episode news, updates, and other bonus style insights on Instagram through my business account at BU Style. That's the letters B, U, and Style. Or my personal account at Natalie_Tincher. And don't forget to subscribe to Wear Who You Are wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks again and see you next time.